Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our worship here at Faith. It's good to have you back with us again today. And we've just slowly but surely, as God's people are some of whom have been deployed. Tim Berkey's back in the booth this morning with us. And it seems like the area is beginning to return to normal. I had mentioned that we had had a couple of our circuit churches that last Sunday, either they couldn't worship or they had to worship outside because they didn't have power. Those were our churches and our circuit, and here we are. We have been blessed almost from the very beginning, but I think the region is slowly returning to normal. It's good to have you back with us this morning. Just a couple of things here. We apologize that the shoes are still here. There's just been so much that's had to be done. We're going to get those taken care of early this week. But if they're in your way, just go ahead and move those. But we had to get those. We had worked hard on getting most of those tagged so that we could get them on their way last night. And we thank everybody that helped us out with that. For those of you that occasionally come to our Saturday worship, at the end of worship next Saturday night, we're going to be going out for supper. We do that as a group from time to time, and there's a room up at Golden Corral that they're up north here on US 19 that they're going to be providing for us for that Saturday night. So even if you only occasionally do that, you might want to join us. We'll probably get started here about 6:30 and eat about 6:45. I know that our outreach committee, Mocha, is going to be meeting after supper up there, but you don't have to be affiliated with Mocha to come and join us for that. So we have now reached a time where in just 5 weeks, we're going to be celebrating a very special worship event, Reformation 500. Now, a couple things are going to happen. Now, first of all, as we approach that, even as last week I mentioned, we've got a couple of more worship services that prepare us for that, and we'll be doing those in October. We're also going to have a month-long Bible study. The Steinkes are finally back. They were in worship last night, and Pastor Steinke is going to lead us on a month-long Bible study here in the sanctuary. That starts next week, not this morning, but just some things on the Reformation. Always just a fascinating Bible study. But then in 5 weeks, our worship, and we're going to worship on Saturday night like we usually do that weekend, but on Sunday there will only be one worship service, and weather permitting, it's going to be over in Sims Park. We're going to be worshiping with four other area LCMS churches, and there's going to be a lot that's going to be happening for that. We're going to need a lot of help for that, but we'll get to the help part later. For now, we want you to do two things. First of all, prepare yourselves because we're only going to have one service. There will be a hymn sing, a song sing starting at 11 o'clock, and then worship will start at 11:15. There will be a meal after that. We've got some set up in the park that will be before that. So only one service that day, again, weather permitting, over in Sims Park. Fascinating thing that's being put together. As Lutherans, when you've never done something like that before, you're always a little cautious how it's going to work out, but hopefully things are going to be progressing. And then we're going to be hitting real hard starting next week. I'm going to have a two-sided insert that's going to talk about these personal healthcare disaster kits and the flood buckets that we are going to start trying to get as many of those as we can ready by the day of our Reformation 500. We'll have those dedicated and blessed, and we're going to try to make it a five-church challenge and just see what happens. I know that at least one of our churches is not waiting, and they're getting their things together because they've got a special group that's going to be going on down to South Florida here in the next couple weeks. But for the rest of the churches, we'll just keep working on that. I have here an update on Debbie Lackey. Of those of you that were with us Wednesday night, she has been hospitalized in Livonia, Michigan, and her illness has been quite serious, but I have a little note here. We appreciate all the prayers. Debbie is doing much better, is still in the hospital. Lots of tests have been done over the last couple days, and the results are coming back good. And that's probably about the best news that we could hear. Debbie, of course, she's a member of our altar guild here and helps with communion and things like that. And we were not aware that she had been hospitalized, but now that we are, we'll once again offer a prayer on her behalf this morning. Please let us know that you were here. Those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you, you can turn those in at the conclusion of the offerings. So that's all that I have. Does anybody else have something needs to be shared with us this morning? As you're able, please stand. As we begin by calling to mind our baptisms, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce unto you the grace of God. And in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Our first lesson is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Return to the Lord, that he may have compassion. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, Life and Death Contending. St. Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, That means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too. Whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of our Lord.' Praise be to thee, O Christ." We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets.
And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Friends, indeed, from our Old Testament lesson this morning, God's thoughts are not ours. And because they are not, God loves his children. God's ways are not ours, and because they are not, he sent his Son to live, die, and rise for us. This morning, the risen Savior calls all of us to return to the Lord so that we may be pardoned. May God grant this return and pardon to each of us every day. Amen. Yes, my text for this morning is going to be from our Old Testament lesson. This isn't the first time I've done this, and certainly won't be the last, but a lot of the lessons that I learned from life, I learned from the science fiction show Star Trek. I've mentioned that before, and for those of you that watch this, you get some of these things. For those of you that haven't, just bear with me. There was an episode where the entire ship was in danger, and they were certainly facing imminent death. That's what science fiction shows typically do. But in the midst of that, they discovered that by sending one person in a ship out into this thing that was causing the trouble, they may be able to get the information that they need to destroy whatever it was that was threatening the lives of everybody. Now, certainly, if the ship is in danger over something like that, a one-person ship is virtually a suicide mission. And the captain had to ponder, who in the world would he send on what is essentially a mission that would almost certainly end in death? And there were only two people that could do what needed to be done. His first officer, Mr. Spock, and his medical officer, Dr. McCoy. And he asked the question, which of my friends do I sentence to death? Ultimately, he chooses Mr. Spock to go on the mission, and the medical doctor, Dr. McCoy, is very disappointed in the choice, even knowing what McCoy would have faced. And as they're walking down together, McCoy is trying to go through all of the little things that Mr. Spock needs to do. And Mr. Spock says, why are you bothering me with all this? I know what I need to do. We need to get this mission moving. The doctor says, you're bound and determined not to let me share in this, are you? Mr. Spock says, look, this isn't a competition. He said, if I have to go by myself, at least grant me my own kind of dignity. The doctor looks at him and says, how can I grant what I do not understand? Mr. Spock's reply was classic. Then employ one of your earth traditions that you do understand. Wish me luck. I've never forgotten that, because here we talk about the kinds of things that we understand. And accepting the will and love of the Lord, we have to admit is something most of the time we can't understand. And yet when we look at what we can understand, we listen to the kinds of things that is often said in one way or another at graduation speeches, good luck. And that's the best we can do? But contrast that with where God is. You know, any verse where God is speaking directly to us is utterly amazing. Not that the rest of Scripture isn't utterly amazing, but these are particularly special. When God says to you, my thoughts are not your thoughts, it's a very comforting statement. And I would hope you'd understand, it's a good thing to know that God doesn't think like any of us do. That he has a view of time, space, and history that surpasses our reality and even our imagination. You know, it's also good to know that the God who is in control knows a whole lot more than you do. He has a far better idea of what's going on in our lives, in our world, in our past, in our present, in our future. And finally, it shows us how wise God is. Wiser than all of the minds of the world put together. For the Christian, that is encouraging. Especially when, since we live in an age where not only do we have fewer and fewer people having anything to do with the church, anything to do with God, and certainly anything to do with our Savior Jesus Christ, but many of them, by what they say, by the decisions that they make, have arrogated to themselves, coronating themselves as gods. Friends, with these words, God is letting us know that no matter how smart people think they are, no matter how much higher education they've accomplished, it can never reach the understanding and attributes, the will and love of the Lord our God. What God does and why he does it is way, way beyond us. And sometimes people do, shall we say, get it. Former Lutheran Hour speaker Ken Klaus tells the story of former President Teddy Roosevelt. I'm not going to pretend that all of us here were alive when Teddy Roosevelt was alive, but as the past president of the United States, he was an exceptional leader of men, even so. Whoever described Teddy, whatever words they used, the words humility never came to their lips. Indeed, his daughter, her name is Alice Roosevelt Longworth, looking back on her father's life, observed the following. My father always wanted to be the corpse at every funeral, the bride at every wedding, and the baby at every baptism. Okay, Roosevelt wasn't a humble man, but that doesn't mean that he ever aspired to try to become on the level with God. And to prove that, Roosevelt, along with some of his close friends, they had a custom when they were together. After an evening of conversation and, who knows, maybe some quasi-Lutheran beverages, they would go out to a place of comparative darkness, and there they would search the heavens until they found a spot of light around the great square of Pegasus. And then one of the men would begin with these words. That spot of light is the great spiral galaxy in Andromeda. It is larger than our own Milky Way, and it is one of 100 million galaxies. It consists of 1 billion suns, each of which are larger than our own sun. Well, having made a statement about the greatness of God and his creation, former President Roosevelt would usually just grin and say, you know what? I think we are now all small enough. Let's go to bed. When I was in college, I was taking a course in which one of the things that I had to do was I had to write about and also write word for word one of the Psalms, not Psalm 23, which he assumed all of us knew. Well, as I was looking through different Psalms, I kept coming back to Psalm 8. Not because it's easier to remember and write down than, say, Psalm 119, which has 175 verses, but I was truly humbled by the words that were in it. Admitting that when you're a college student, there's much that humbles you. Well, anyway, the psalmist said, Lord, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. The psalmist was saying that God, whose ways and thoughts and will and love
our beyond human understanding, has decided to entrust each of us with a certain degree of authority over creation. When God created heavens and the earth, for reasons of his own, he entrusted dominion of the world to humanity. It was a sacred trust, a divine gift, a great responsibility. God placed us at the pinnacle of creation, giving a gift which, if we had stayed in the perfect place he had designed for us, would have been everlastingly appreciated. We know how that turned out, didn't we? You look at Scripture and you get a clear picture of what humanity has done with God's charge to be his caring custodians. Adam and Eve gave up all of that perfection, the opportunity to live lives in a perfect world. And why? Because they judged that they knew better than God. They were convinced that they could improve on what the Lord had done. They decided to take control of their own fate, arrogating to themselves the right as co-God, if you will. Their Creator and Lord was shoved to the side as they ate from the forbidden fruit. And on that day, by our own invitation, sin and death came into the world, and the forces of darkness found a new home. And on that day, we made the first of many blunders which continue to this day. And look at what some of those blunders are. It isn't even just the things we do, but when we are confronted with wrongdoing, Eve immediately blames the serpent. Adam first blames Eve. Well, she gave me the fruit and I ate. Then has the audacity to go after God himself. From that woman you gave me. Well, if God would have done what maybe we might even think, if we're in a position like that, given vent to his fury, turn the universe and all of which it contains into a fireball, and we would never have known the difference. We would never have existed. But that's not what God did. Because God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. Rather than taking revenge, rather than exacting eternal retribution, the Lord acted in grace. He promised to send his son who would pay the price for our disobedience. The triune God showed a gracious and generous quality, a quality which makes Christianity unique among all the religions of the world. For the first time, certainly not for the last, God called his people to repentance, but God did the work of salvation. And that's why, when you go through the Bible, you'll just keep reading over and over again, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Words like that are everywhere. Now, I know that if we're Christians, a lot of us that were alive in 1968 may have had better things to do on Christmas Eve. I know I did. I remember Christmas Eve, 1968, but not what happened that evening. And well, you know, I'm sure there's some of us that's like, no, I can't remember back to 1968. I wasn't even born then. On that date, Apollo 8, the first manned mission to the moon, it didn't land, it just circled around it several times. And as it entered lunar orbit that evening, the astronauts, Commander Frank Borman, Command Module Pilot Jim Lovell, Lunar Module Pilot William Anders, did a live television broadcast. And they were broadcasting as the blue and white ball of Earth rose over the moon's horizon.
Here are some of the most sophisticated men of science, pioneer explorers, if you will. And what did they have to say on their live telecast? Astronaut Anders begins. "For all the people on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to send you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw the light that it was good." Jim Lovell continued. "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and the morning were the first day." Frank Borman continues. "And God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear,' and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas, and God saw that it was good." Amazing. At the height of human technical achievement, even these brave astronauts stood in awe of God's hand in creation. What they saw and what they observed brought about divinely inspired words to echo what their eyes could see but barely comprehend. No, my friends, God's thoughts are not ours. In the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, God promised to send a great gift, a wonderful, one-of-a-kind gift. No, God's thoughts are not ours. Unexpectedly, unbelievably, the Lord held out a plan of salvation and hope for his children. It was the kind of gesture which should have created a feeling of overwhelming gratitude in the hearts of all people who heard what the Lord was going to do. God's gracious gift of Jesus should have filled every heart with repentance, forgiveness, thanksgiving, to thank and praise and serve and obey him, an overwhelming desire to live a life of obedience and appreciation. That's not what happened. And even today, it is not what happens. All of human history shows a gracious God reaching out to us, but it also shows us pushing God away, disrespectfully stomping our feet in a spiritual temper tantrum and walking away, committed to doing our own thing. And you know, even in the backdrop of the great acts of sharing and caring and love that followed this recent hurricane has come a tidal wave of its own. One that I guess I should have expected. People who are writing articles absolutely convinced. Did you actually think there was a God? Well, guess what? The hurricanes are proof. There is no God. Well, let them write. Because we know that our God who sent his Son for you is real. And sometimes people have to understand the reality of that greatness. There was a great man whose name was Dr. Howard Kelly. He was one of America's great thinkers, an educator, and also a physician. He was one of the founding physicians for the medical clinics of Johns Hopkins University. This Dr. Kelly usually wore a lapel pin that all it had on it was a question mark. When someone asked him, "Okay, what does that question mark mean?" he would respond with a question of its own. "Well, it stands for the greatest thing in the world, but what do you think that is?" Some would say money. Some, obviously in a hospital setting, would say health. Dr. Kelly replied, "The greatest thing in the world is, what do you think of Jesus Christ?" That's the question for us today, my friends. Because the God whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, sent his son into the world that we might be saved. What do you think of that? Your living Lord understands what he did for you. Maybe he's waiting for an answer. I pray that our Lord and Savior may always be in our lives as our Redeemer, our Confidant, our Savior, and our Friend. And I pray that we may always seek the Lord while he is found, to call upon him while he is near, to come to him in repentance, knowing that forgiveness and eternal life are ours. Friends, God didn't wait to bring us our salvation. Let's not wait to respond in thanksgiving, to thank and praise and serve and obey him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we receive our offerings. We lift up our hearts to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we rejoice and sing that indeed we are your children because of your constant love and mercy. We are what we are purely by your grace. Although your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts than our thoughts, you still have made us your own, fulfilled your rich promises to us, and given us a Savior in Jesus Christ who gave up his life for each one of us. We rejoice to know that as you sent him when the right time came, that through him, our lives now, our lives in you, our lives prepared for eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us your Spirit's power to remain strong in our faith despite all of the doubt and ridicule and people making themselves their own gods in this age. Keep us each day in repentance, in drawing close to you, in humble reliance in your mercy, in the peace of your forgiveness. And give us such love for you that we may devote our whole life to serving you in thanks and praise, service and obedience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our country. Give us leaders in all walks of life who promote what is good, oppose what is evil, helping our citizens live in peace and uprightness, who also respect your will and your ways. May they and all of us show concern for the good of all, especially in these days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our homes. Give all parents a burning desire to teach their children to know and love and revere you in Jesus Christ. Enable all families to live together in peace and love and the true wisdom that comes only from above. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up our hearts to you, Lord, on behalf of the suffering, the bereaved, the needy, the homeless, the lonely, the wounded, the worried, the despairing. Special prayers this morning on behalf of Debbie Lackey, Kurt Brock, Joe Archambault. And now as we lift up our hearts before you for someone in our own life that we name before you in a moment of silence as only you can give them the peace and the comfort that they need. Deliver them, O God, from every evil of body and soul. At our last hour, mercifully take us from the troubles of this life to yourself in heaven. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God forever and ever, and who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We conclude at the bottom of page 7 as we pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the author of life. Direct us in our vocations that we may serve you in humble gratitude, seeking unity and peace with all people, which is ours by the blood of Christ. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the blessing of our Lord in your hearts and in your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.